During the Switch Pivot or Quit chat, we talk to women that have successfully navigated through some of the plot twist years of life and are eager to share their stories and what they've learned in the hopes of inspiring, teaching, or making even the slightest impact by candidly owning their truth. Hey girl, hey, and thanks for dropping in to the Switch Pivot or Quit podcast. Candid convo for the girl needing a lifestyle plot twist when she's deciding if it's time to switch, pivot, or quit. I'm Ayana Angel, a former sports entertainment publicist in New York City, turned traditionally published author with Simon & Schuster, who quit my old life to write a book, live in London for a bit, and explore my dreams to find my happiness and fulfillment. I'm here to help encourage and guide you through your plot twist as your chief encourager and host of the Switch Pivot or Quit podcast. Let's get this conversation started. On today's show, we're chatting with Elizabeth Redmond Cleveland, who is a chief strategist of sustainable growth for the city of Berkeley, California, where she designs policies and programs to ensure socially and environmentally responsible growth within Berkeley. She's a seasoned professional who has worked domestically as well as internationally in the corporate sector as well as the nonprofit space. Liz and I connected through the work that she does with a group called the Women Entrepreneurs of Berkeley. She's an extremely intelligent person who I've come to know as a connector of awesome people, and I hope that you enjoy our chat. So to start us off, Liz, can you tell us a bit about and explain a bit more about your current position and how you sort of came to do the type of work that you do now?
Sure. So I've only started in May at the City of Berkeley's Office of Economic Development, so I'm still learning on a day-to-day basis what actually I will be doing in the years to come and sort of what policies and networks I have the ability to influence. But I think the common element in all of the different work that I've had is being able to connect and convene people and build networks that expose people to new resources, to talent, to ideas and information that they wouldn't have had otherwise. And then also to be able to think critically. And I say that and it sounds very generic and sort of being able to say I'm a critical thinker or a strategic thinker doesn't mean a whole lot to a lot of people, but when you see it in action, there's actually a difference between people that like to think strategically and that are able to put together, you know, quantitative and qualitative research to come up with a more strategic or holistic decision. And so in taking this job with the City of Berkeley, my title's the Chief Strategist of Sustainable Growth, and that means I'm working with small businesses, with local businesses, with key industry sectors that drive our economy, and helping figure out a more strategic way for the Office of Economic Development to create economic opportunity for residents in Berkeley rather than just fighting fires all the time or putting together Band-Aid solutions, but rather thinking about, you know, what are the real opportunities for us to engage with residents and businesses and to support them, and what existing networks or resources can we leverage and then sort of add visibility or credibility to by lending the city's horsepower and resources. And so a couple of big things that I've been working on since starting is getting this Women Entrepreneurs of Berkeley group back up and running again. It started and has had informal meetings on and off since 2014. But when I assumed this role, one of the things I was really excited about was giving that group a new focus and direction. So I've pulled together a tremendous women advisory group that come from a variety of different types of businesses that are both entrepreneurs and in established companies, but have taken entrepreneurial decisions within their, you know, their own corporate or other type of business environments, and pulling them together to give the group new business direction. Working with the Berkeley Startup Cluster, which is about making Berkeley a better place for startups and creating that buzz and opportunity. You know, everyone knows Silicon Valley.
You don't necessarily think of Berkeley when you think of Silicon Valley.
You might think of the hippies on the street and the progressive movement from the 60s. But Berkeley is a top school for engineering talent. There's a lot of really innovative and amazing things happening on the campus and at Lawrence Berkeley National Lab. But way too often, the students graduate or the postdocs go on and they start their businesses in other places. And so we want to figure out how do we keep them here and make them feel like they're supported and that Berkeley is actually just as good as, if not a better place to do business than, you know, Palo Alto or San Francisco or Boston.
Right, so, right, right. That makes sense.
Those are two of the big ones, but there's, you know, day-to-day, there's lots of opportunities to engage on economic topics.
Right, right. So, you know, as you know, like, on this podcast, we talk all about switch, pivoting, and quitting, and if someone was just dropping in to listen to you right now, they'd think, like, oh, like, she's Berkeley, like, die hard, you know, true to the core, but you've had your own switch, pivot, or quit moments, and I would love for you to tell us a bit about that. I know you lived in London for a bit of time, so just I'd love for you to just kind of walk us through the overview of sort of like your career trajectory and just sort of how things have taken shape for you with your own switch, pivot, or quit moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really loved the title of this podcast when I saw it because I thought that really captured both the experience that I've been going through over the last several months and starting this new job. And
yeah.
It's a very big transition from corporate America mm-hmm. to local city government, which mm-hmm. I can talk about. But I actually realized, you know, it's not the only time that's happened. And I know from listening to your podcast, every woman on it has a story to tell. And it's so important for all of us to not define ourselves as one thing always and forever.
Right.
But rather to be open to opportunities as they arise and put ourselves in situations where good opportunities arise to switch or pivot.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say in terms of my own career, I think there's sort of four big ones that mm-hmm. might be really deemed as a switch or pivot. So first was after finishing school, and I did go to graduate school here in Berkeley.
Mm.
So that was my connection
mm-hmm.
to the Berkeley area within the Bay, broader Bay Area.
Right.
But when finishing, I did a master's of public policy, and I did a lot of my electives at the business school.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always interested in being at the intersection of policy, or government, and business.
Mm.
And so naturally finishing that program, I started looking at jobs in public affairs or corporate affairs, government affairs at big corporations. I was looking at opportunities with nonprofits and business associations that were trying to influence, you know, policy and or sustainable business practices. Anyway, I was looking at all sorts of established existing jobs and
right.
organizations that are out there, and none of them really resonated with me. They didn't feel mm. like they were truly giving me the opportunity to apply the skills that I had and make the changes that I saw as possible when you align policy to support business and you use business to drive positive social and environmental progress.
Mm-hmm.
And so I ended up deciding to start my own business.
Wow.
And so that was, I guess, in 2011. I started a company called Cross Sector Strategies.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's exactly what I just said, working at the intersection of the public, private, and nonprofit sector, and helping each of those types of organizations translate their goals and objectives in the other one's terms
mm-hmm.
and bring their own resources to the table and work across the divide, as you will.
Right.
to build collaborative solutions.
Mm-hmm.
So I was working with philanthropic foundations, community colleges, chambers of commerce, a number of different types of organizations
mm-hmm.
About sustainable economic development.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we design policy that allows business to be competitive and successful,
mm-hmm.
but in a way that works for that community.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that drives positive environmental performance
mm-hmm.
there rather than sort of business is bad and it has emissions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's lots of things people might pigeonhole what one sector does in terms of others. So that was the first pivot. Great. Loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Flexibility, learned a lot about, you know, everything from how you set up your SEP IRA
yeah.
you know, to my accounting. You know,
right.
What you have to do when you start your own business. That's not all
so much,
the content
yeah.
side, but just
yeah.
the technical.
Right.
So that was one big pivot. But then I fell in love with my husband.
Mm-hmm.
And he got an amazing opportunity in London,
mm-hmm.
which you mentioned. And that was not at all where I had seen myself.
Envisioned yourself,
to,
yeah.
I just finished
yeah.
school at Berkeley. I had built a network and client base largely across the West Coast of the U.S. And London is nowhere near.
Exactly.
So I wouldn't be able to leverage my network there. And
mm-hmm.
I was nervous because, you know, I just built this business. I
yeah.
was developing client base. I got my graduate degree. I was speaking to my mom. I was like, what should I do? And she's like, you know, you can always find a career opportunity, but you only find love.
That's so true.
Once or twice in whatever
that's
might be
so
in your
true.
Life. Right?
Yeah.
So she's like, you need to follow your heart. And it was actually really interesting advice she gave me. She said, you like to challenge yourself.
Mm.
but it's always been challenges that you've taken on professionally.
Mm.
Why don't you take on this challenge in your personal life
mm-hmm.
to see if you can go be somewhere where you're not comfortable, where you don't have a network, where you're not necessarily going to excel right away
right.
because you don't know the culture and the people there.
Right.
But take it as a challenge that you can overcome.
Mm-hmm.
Go support him. He's a good guy.
Mm.
Like, he wants you there with him. Do it.
Yeah.
Like, all right. Wow. I didn't expect that from my mom, who was like, be a strong woman. You know, don't follow a man. Stand up for what you want. Like, all right.
Okay.
So I moved to London.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually very, very hard for me.
Really?
Because I was not plugged in. I left
yeah.
my friends. I left family. I left my business.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, I had been working part-time I won't go into it now, but I had accepted a contract with a global company called IHS.
Okay.
That does economic analysis and forecasting while I had still been running my business.
Mm.
And so once I knew that Josh, my husband, had accepted this position, I accepted to work in this corporation full-time.
Mm.
And they had an office in London. In
nice.
Fact, their biggest office in the world was in London.
Wow.
So it's being
okay.
a bit strategic, if
yeah.
you will, but it would create an employment opportunity for me over there.
Mm-hmm.
However, they don't do anything related to what I do in the London office
oh.
of this company. So while here in the U.S., I was doing exactly what it's like, economic and workforce development strategies,
mm-hmm.
competitiveness work.
Mm-hmm.
There, it's much more of an economic forecasting and industry analysis for big, what they call capital-intensive industries, so like oil and gas,
okay.
mining, maritime,
mm-hmm.
trade, places that have big capital
mm-hmm.
equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a lot of amazing information and forecasts and risk assessments for these industries, but that's not something that I know anything about.
Right.
So I was dropped into this London office, there to support my husband. And frankly, miserable.
Wow. And I'm
no
sure the
friends.
Weather didn't help either.
The weather did not help. And in my personal life, I'm a big rock climber and, you
mm-hmm.
know, go camping or backpacking every weekend. And London is not the place you go if you're an outdoor enthusiast.
Yeah.
So that was tough.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really having a hard time. You know, I was crying all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking, but my husband's like, we can go back. I was like, no, this is exactly when you say switch, pivot, or quit.
Yeah.
That's the term that was in my head
yeah.
at this point. Because I was like, abort mission and go
right.
home? And then I thought, no. And I was looking at job posts. Maybe it's another job interesting, but
yeah.
nothing was really appealing to me. And then I thought, you know, what is it that'll make me happier here?
Mm-hmm.
Would be to actually do something that I really care about.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm making a change in this company because they obviously don't do what I do or what
right.
I think they should be doing.
Right.
So I got asked actually to do a social impact analysis
mm-hmm.
of coal plants to basically, presumably the company wanted to show that coal had a positive
okay.
social impact.
Okay.
And that
that's
didn't
not the norm.
Resonate
okay. yeah.
with me, and I didn't feel like that was what the analysis would probably show you,
mm-hmm.
that coal was always a good thing
mm-hmm.
for society. And I kind of said, this is my chance to... pivot or quit. I decided to talk to a lot of senior leadership and say, I don't think this is the type of direction
mm-hmm.
that our company should be providing
mm.
analysis to support.
Mm-hmm.
We should always be, you know, unbiased and factual, make sure we present all sides
mm.
of any topic. And I also think that we will be a better company with more client interest if we help our clients operate and invest in a more sustainable way
mm-hmm.
and show them that there's alternatives to just doing the most profitable thing at the time.
Mm.
And they could have fired me.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. They could have, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I was kind of saying, I don't want to do what I'm being asked to do. I
yeah.
think there's another opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And amazingly, I had a tremendous amount of support from senior leadership
mm.
to say, yeah, you're right. Actually, we do think we should be doing more on our sustainability
mm-hmm.
objectives,
mm-hmm.
not just internal sustainability, like giving... to philanthropy
mm-hmm.
and recycling, turning
right.
out the lights at night.
Right.
But we should be looking at the products and services we offer our clients.
Mm-hmm.
And we should try to make sure that those help them to make more sustainable, well-thought-out choices.
Mm-hmm.
And so the senior leaders of the company really backed me in starting that initiative. And I was able to pivot into that role.
Okay.
Leading that.
So that could be a scary thing. And I'm sure that there's someone listening right now that's potentially in a similar situation where something is being asked of them, but they don't necessarily
think that it's the best way. Mm-hmm. That's a challenge. And I'm sure that there's hesitation, like, oh, should I say something? Should I just go with the flow? Where did you sort of find your strength to say, okay, I'm going to actually go to senior leadership and I'm going to speak up about this? Because I'm sure that wasn't easy.
Yes, and that wasn't the first time that I'd been uncomfortable in a situation mm-hmm. in that job, and that I'd felt a little bit, you know, out of my element in terms of what I've been asked to do. But I feel like that's where, again, the title's so great, because you have to think, okay, can I just pivot and do this, or am I willing to quit? And mm-hmm. I think at that point, I had decided I wasn't happy with what I was doing at that time, and I wanted something different out of my career.
Okay.
And so it was not a lot to lose.
Yeah, so you were, like, putting your cards on the table, and you're like, you had made a decision. Whatever way it goes, I'm okay with it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I think I said, I mean, I wasn't going to be I wasn't confrontational in the way I approached the emails and the communications, mm-hmm. but I thought, if they say, no, we want to do this, this isn't really where I want to be.
Right.
And then I might actually find greater happiness in a different path, and this will just kick my butt mm-hmm. into making that change. Mm-hmm. But if I don't stand up for what I really want to be doing and for the type of work that I thought I would see myself enjoying and excelling at, I'm never going to get there. So I may as well articulately say what I think is the better way mm-hmm. to approach our clients and to, you know, be a growing global business. Mm-hmm. And if people support that, great, which they ended up doing. And if they don't, then you know what? I'll find some work elsewhere. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to say it's easy, but I do think you have to be willing to make that change and be okay with not every time would it turn out mm-hmm. positive, or mm-hmm. at least the way that, and you know, I shouldn't even say positive, because it could still be positive. And that if you did get fired or you did leave something mm-hmm. that wasn't right for you, that actually could be very positive. Mm-hmm. It just might not be stable for a while.
Right, you might not see exactly where it's going. It might take some time for it to sort of like come together, the pieces to come together. So in this whole experience, like you said, you were out of your element. This was different for you. What did you learn about yourself by being challenged, by being in this completely new environment? Was there anything that you learned about yourself that you were like, wow, I didn't really know this about myself, but I'm glad I know it now, and it made you grow?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this was the first time, as somebody who is very confident in what I do and has a big network and has spent years sort of building relationships and mm-hmm. expertise in what I'm good at, to be in a place that was so big with few people that knew who I was.
Yeah.
That returned my calls or that would be excited to go to lunch with me or whatever.
Right.
You know, suddenly I was dropped in on a different side of the world. And so it was very humbling. Mm. But then after a year there, and after starting this Sustainable Customer Solutions Initiative and really pushing myself mm-hmm. to stay the course rather than just quit and mm-hmm. go back home or do what I was being told to keep my job, it made me feel even more confident in my resilience. Mm-hmm. And so what I think I learned is you don't have to always be doing what you're already good at or what you've had experience doing before, but you have to believe in yourself and you have to be willing to wait out that tough period and not throw the towel in too early. Mm-hmm. And it's hard. I mean, I'm not going to make this sound better than it was.
Yeah.
I was not happy for a while.
Yeah.
And it might have been easier to just say, what am I doing? I have a business and friends. My husband was so supportive. You know, he would have gone back to California, or we mm-hmm. could have done some kind of remote mm-hmm. relationship for a while if I had said, no, you know what? I don't like it here.
Yeah.
But now, looking back on that, I feel so much stronger.
Right. I was thinking that. Yeah.
And I would go, I feel now like I could do it again mm-hmm. somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Because I just have to be okay with being a bit insecure or unknown or not having things go my way or be the relationships that, you know, they would be after you've been somewhere for 15 years. Mm-hmm. So I think that's important for, I don't want to tell people to push themselves into uncomfortable situations, but
that's,
I think
that's life.
It does help you.
It does. It helps you grow. It helps you expand. It helps you to understand what you're capable of. Because if you stay in this quiet little corner, in this section all of your life, you'll never know what your boundaries really are. And usually, whatever you even think your boundaries are, you can push past those. Yeah. So, yeah, I tell people, I'm not going to say I don't want to tell you to push yourself outside of yourself and go for things that are uncomfortable. I'm going to tell you to do that. Do it. Mm-hmm. Because I think you'll be so much happier on the other side of it. You might not be exactly happy while you're in it, like you said. But on the other side of it, you'll thank yourself and you'll be thinking, I'm actually pretty proud. Like, yeah. I did this. You know what I mean? Like, no one can take that away from you either. So I think that's pretty dope. What do you think the number one key is to embracing change?
So I think that there's a really important way you can set yourself up to be open to opportunity. Mm-hmm. So you should take changes or opportunities as they arise.
Right.
But I also think you can be seeking out to put yourself in a place where the right changes for you or the best opportunities arise. Mm-hmm. And so I think by being clear on who you are and what you want, and then the people that you want to surround yourself with, there will be changes every day.
Exactly. Yeah.
But you will at least be exposed to the types of changes that you want to be exposed to. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to say, you know, every single one will, you know.
Right.
Family issues or, you know, circumstances could come up that you have no control over. Mm-hmm. But I do feel like while luck has a lot to do with all of our lives, mm-hmm. you can also set yourself up to have better luck.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Trying to sort of maybe impact and create your reality a little bit more, because change is inevitable.
Exactly.
So as long as you're playing an active role in it, you might have a better chance of being sort of okay or creating some of the changes you might want to see. Yeah, I like that. Yeah. What professional advice have you received thus far in your career that has like really stayed with you?
Yeah, I would say it's a lot related to what we were just talking about, mm-hmm. but it's about putting yourself in the place where the opportunities that you seek will present themselves. Mm. And if there's something that you want to do today,
right,
you should do it today.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what you don't know or that you will know in the future that you didn't know today, and you don't know how all those external circumstances that we were just talking about, mm-hmm. how they might change. And so if you want to speak up in a meeting because you have an opinion, you should say it. And if you want to volunteer for the committee, you should do it now. Not think, oh, well, if I was a little bit more informed, mm-hmm. or if I had researched this a bit further, I might be better at it. Mm-hmm. I think this is actually something, Sheryl Sandberg, I think, talks about this. And in general, from some of my research, women often doubt whether they're capable or they've had enough experience, right. or they are equipped for the challenge. Mm-hmm. And I think advice that I've heard and I try to take seriously is, if you want to do it, go for it. Yep. You'll learn on the job, or you'll ask other people that know more than you will, and that's mm-hmm. okay. Mm-hmm. And a lot of men assume positions where they know nothing.
And they could care less. They go. They go with it. They figure it out as they go. They learn on the job, and they're like not even embarrassed, not ashamed. Sometimes they'll tell you, oh, I didn't know what the hell I was doing. Or I didn't know it, but I knew I could do it. There's a confidence that they have.
Exactly. And you know, it's kind of, we all joke about this, but you know, when you ask a man for directions, they might not know, but they're like, it's that way.
Exactly.
Like, oh, I don't know. I need to consult the map. Let me check. And I think this is often a difference that we see between men and women. Mm-hmm. And I see it all the time with my husband and other men in my lives. You ask them a question and they confidently give you an answer, but they don't necessarily know. Right. And so I think as women, and it's related to sort of do it.
Yeah.
Just, not that I'm suggesting that you should ever lie or BS something, but you can just, if you have a hunch or you have something that you want to go for, mm-hmm. go for it. And then you can learn and adapt and, you know, revise the plan, make a plan B if necessary. But at least you've gotten yourself into that new career situation.
Yeah.
Or, you know, creative power that you want to be orchestrating.
Exactly. So you, as you mentioned earlier, you work a lot with women in the community and just fostering relationships and development and everything on that level. So I want to find out from you, why is women supporting women something that's important to you?
Yeah, so in the previous corporate job that I had, we had a client, Dell, like Dell Computer, that asked us to put together a study comparing 50 global cities and their ability to support and attract high potential women entrepreneurs. And one of the most fascinating results of all of the both primary research we did speaking with women entrepreneurs through interviews and roundtable sessions, as well as secondary research on other reports have been published, was how important culture was for women to be successful. And, you know, culture, what I mean by that is having role models and peers and mentors and being in an environment where women think they can be successful and they have a sounding board is every bit as important, if not more important, than some of the things that are typically thought of as what helps an entrepreneur to be successful. So access to capital, access to talent, a good business climate, the right technology. All those things are important to women and men alike. But women really felt like they wanted support networks. They wanted to have people that they could drink a glass of wine with and talk about their business idea or go on a run and, you know, hammer out that frustration. And they really felt like being in that network was a critical factor in whether or not they were able to take the next step in their career or, you know, scale their business. And so for me, in taking this new job at the City of Berkeley and assuming this Women Entrepreneurs of Berkeley sort of network and trying to revitalize that and figure out where it can go, I feel like that's a tremendous opportunity to create that culture here in the city that shows innovative women that are looking for resources or looking to know that they're not alone in their endeavors, that they have support and that that support comes in many forms, and that there are other women that have, you know, succeeded, failed, dealt with feelings of insecurity, felt the frustration of being in a male-dominated workforce or whatever else it might be, just having that culture around you that it's okay and that there's opportunity and that there's other like-minded and encouraging voices around you. To me, I can see it right now with the women we're working with. They just are so proud of what they've done because of the other women supporting and encouraging them and sort of shining the limelight on them as a success that I want to continue to cultivate that here and frankly anywhere that I live, whether I work at the City of Berkeley or, I mean, I live in Oakland and I've attended women entrepreneur initiatives there as well. I think that just making sure the women know that there is that culture makes all the difference in the world to whether they get up the next morning and go for it.
That's true. Sense of community for sure. If someone were thinking about getting into city government, what would be your advice as to how to sort of like embark on that type of journey?
Well, be ready for changes. I think that it's really, I don't know if I would say if you want to get into city government, but as you're changing any sector, it's important to recognize that it won't be like the other one. So there's differences, and they're not necessarily good or bad. There's actually positives and negatives in every situation. So with city government, from what I've experienced, and I can't speak about every city government because I've only worked in one so far. But there's a much more hierarchical and bureaucratic set of processes, certainly than running your own business or working in a small, lean nonprofit. And you have to be willing to play that game and follow those rules. But at the same time, I would say there is a tremendous amount of respect for innovators and entrepreneurial spirit within government. Once, I mean, I wouldn't say that everybody unilaterally feels that way, but there is certainly opportunity to bring that go-getter, change-creating mindset into government, especially right now as, you know, millennials are moving up in the world and sort of the older populations that are more traditional maybe phasing out. There's a lot of need for change and innovative ideas, and a lot of the workforce in city government today is retiring or will be retiring in the years ahead. And so I think the fresh faces and fresh ideas, at least in many cities that I've been exposed to through some of the City of Berkeley's work in the 100 Resilient Cities Initiative, they're looking for change makers. And so I'd say you have to be willing to sort of follow the bureaucratic processes of going through the hiring and
mm-hmm.
checking all the boxes and following the protocols for how you get that job.
Mm-hmm.
But then once you're in it, you shouldn't be afraid to suggest creative, novel ways of doing business. And then hopefully, at least in my case, I have an extremely supportive boss
mm-hmm.
and a team that I work with is not just trying to, you know, check those cookie cutter boxes
and just
really
do things the way they've been doing them. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
They're really open to change and to making a positive impact. And so for me, it's made it a lot easier to palate the bureaucratic processes
mm-hmm.
to know that if I can just follow the rules a little bit,
right,
that I can actually shake some things up in certain ways that may hopefully increase economic opportunities in Berkeley and,
right.
you know, make sure we grow in a sustainable way
mm-hmm.
that's respectful of the environment and sort of equity in our community, which has become a very big topic, not just here in Berkeley, but across the country right now. What does that mean? So
mm-hmm.
it's an opportunity to be in a living lab and see what we can actually do by new policies and programs to influence equity and sustainability
mm-hmm.
while still trying to promote business growth.
Right. Right. So in your opinion, since you've been through some different changes and you're in a new space right now in your career, what does success for you sort of look like and feel like? What is that for you?
Yeah, I would sort of define it two different ways. So success overall to me
mm-hmm.
is about continually having an opportunity to challenge yourself, but
mm-hmm.
in a manageable way that you can actually influence and affect, and exposing myself to a variety of topics and people and
mm-hmm.
ideas. And so as long as I can look back on a day or a week of my life and think I learned something new,
yeah.
I helped someone make a new connection, I was exposed to a new philosophy, then to me that's success.
Mm-hmm.
And that you don't have to have one end goal. It's not
mm-hmm.
like one thing I want to be, like, I want to be the president when I grow up, or
right.
I want to be a CEO, but rather that every day, every week is a learning process that I can feel good about.
Mm-hmm.
I think more, the second part of the answer is more specific to my current role. Success in my job at the City of Berkeley's Office of Economic Development would be more about creating networks
mm-hmm.
that help individual types of businesses or entrepreneurs make new connections,
mm-hmm.
access resources, get information that they wouldn't otherwise have had. And it would be about making sure small, locally owned, women-owned, minority-owned businesses
mm-hmm.
can stay in Berkeley and
mm-hmm.
thrive in Berkeley,
mm-hmm.
especially at a time where there's so much transformation, both
yeah.
because of digital opportunities and because of big corporate and just sort of resistance to business. There's just a lot of change, and so making sure that we can support local businesses with all kinds of owners to be here and grow would be a tremendous success for me. And then I'd say, lastly, helping the Office of Economic Development and anyone that I work with in government
mm-hmm.
to take my entrepreneurial sort of innovative spirit into consideration and
right.
be a bit more strategic and thoughtful about the way that we use our resources and the way we spend our time.
Mm-hmm.
And so rather than, you know, just responding to the latest resident request or the hot topic of the day,
mm.
that we actually think about where we can create the most impact with the small team that we have and the limited taxpayer dollars that are available to us.
Right. I love that. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us. And do you want to let everyone know how they can get in touch with you or keep up with you as you continue your journey?
Sure. I would say anybody who's listening to this podcast probably has some kind of women entrepreneur network near them. If they happen to be in Berkeley or in the Bay Area,
mm-hmm.
it'd be great. They can check out wberkeley.com or sign up for Women Entrepreneurs of Berkeley through our LinkedIn page. And obviously
awesome.
That will link them to me. But I would also just say for anybody to look up women entrepreneur groups in their local area, because there are those types of networks across the country.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully they can create that support network that I was talking about
exactly.
earlier for them in their local community.
Exactly. Thank you so much, Liz.
With the new year rapidly approaching, I want you guys to be able to go into 2018 just feeling confident about your goals, feeling confident about yourself and all of the things that you are going to accomplish. So I want you to be able to be like, say it loud, I got goals and I'm proud. Yeah. Say it loud, I got goals and I'm proud. So, in the spirit of that, the first 5 people that repost listening to this episode, that could be a screenshot from however you're listening to the podcast. That could be you recording that you're listening to the podcast and sending an IG story. But the first 5 people to repost that they are listening to this episode on IG stories, this episode specifically, will receive a Gangsta With My Goals rose gold printed t-shirt. Yes. Please, please get excited, ladies, because this t-shirt is going to say everything that you needed to say going into the new year. I am Gangsta With My Goals. I accept no shorts. I will be great. And I am on my journey to greatness. Yes. First 5 people to send in an IG stories tag Switch Pivot or Quit listening to this episode will receive their shirt.
And as always, you guys, keep killing it.